Next on BYUSN, Kevin Young takes a big swing and hits it out of the park with his latest addition to his coaching staff as Chris Burgess returns to Provo. What it means for the Cougars immediately. Plus, Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yormark on potential expansion of the college football playoff and March Madness.
Former BYU point guard TJ Haas going to join the show. What was the best thing about playing for Chris Burgess? And what he expects Dallin Hall to do as he comes back and gets ready for a second year in the Big 12. And the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell, will share his thoughts on the Burgess hire and what he expects will be his biggest impact on BYU basketball, even right away.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Thursday, May 2nd. I'm Jerem Jordan. He is a guy used to letting down Utah fans, Dave McCann.
Well, let me tell you, some of my best friends are Utes. Some of my most loyal readers are Utes. Love their school president. But Vacaviti put out a text in response this to the Burgess hire that certainly caught a lot of eyeballs. And here it is. Chris Burgess just let down under 10,000 U of U fans. This, of course, the playoff of years ago, a former BYU coach. Ed said that Chris had let down millions of members of the church by not coming here and choosing Duke. Well, here we go in 2024.
Well played.
Sometimes you just salute and you move on.
Well played. And that whole situation with Roger Reed and Chris Burgess, like, they are friends. Like, the families are friends with Randy and Robbie and Chris and everything. So that's been smoothed over, but we can laugh at it all these years later. Yeah. From 1996 to now. Almost 30 years ago. I mean, that was a long time ago.
I know it. It is such a big deal. We're going to talk about it, of course, a lot about today. But it just seems now like every day something's happening. Mm-hmm. And we know something else is about to happen. So it just keeps coming.
Yep, it's coming. It's all happening. Let's go. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
Something about being in the Big 12. It's a new group.
An outstanding coach.
Tip off a new era of BYU basketball. Rising up, first three falls for another crush.
I'm telling you what everyone's told us.
Scoop and score!
You come here, you're going to do wonders for basketball program.
What's Trending is presented by Tim Daly Nissan, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. Chris Burgess is back. Dave, what's your reaction to the news that came out late yesterday afternoon?
Well, I think a lot of us, if you go back further, wouldn't be surprised if Chris Burgess was named the head coach. There was a time where it was like, hey, is this about to happen? And then when it didn't happen, it was like, well, maybe there's a totally new direction. And then some of our folks kind of got wind that hey, indeed this was. And then it did. And it's a unilateral move, right? From an assistant job up there to assistant job down here. But this is where the future is for Chris Burgess. And BYU needs him. I think he's the tallest assistant coach in all of college basketball. BYU needs some rim runners.
Yes,
and he's got a history of getting them. What's your reaction?
I am so excited. If Kevin Young didn't exist, Chris Burgess would have been the leader in the clubhouse, in my opinion, of who would have been the next head coach at BYU.
Right.
He now sits in position to be the next head coach at another place. He's in a good spot. He's a future head coach. BYU's got that guy on their staff, which is great. He's a great recruiter. Won some battles against BYU, by the way, while he was at Utah the last couple of years, for Jackson Johnson, who's going on a mission first. He brought Jake Wallin and Hunter Erickson over after they were at BYU. He got Keba Keita in a battle with BYU, who has jumped into the portal, by the way. He developed Brandon Carlson, a 7-footer, up there to be a 17-point game a guy.
By the way, that didn't just slip out in there. You know,
I guess
that
not.
Him in the portal, yeah. That's a thing.
Interesting. Not shocking, you know, that a coach leaves and whatnot.
But it's a thing.
Brandon Carlson turned into a very good three-point shooter as well, 38%. He's a great coach as well. He was part of two teams that were going to be in the NCAA tournament. The 2020 team in year one under Mark Pope would have been a 6 seed, Lenardi said. And then the next year they were a 6 seed. So he's a good coach. He coached Foose to a very good freshman year when we didn't know what Foose would be. Brought in Matt Harms, defensive player of the year in the WCC against all those Gonzaga guys.
And people wonder, well, when it came down to Kentucky and BYU, how did BYU get Harms here? Chris Burgess is how they got Harms.
Yeah, that was a big deal. He helped get and develop Alex Barcelo. He's the former number one recruit in the country, very connected. He played on the same AAU team as Baron Davis, by the way, long NBA career. And Chris told me, he'd be like, hey, Barron's actually the better player here. Why am I the one getting the attention? Went to Duke, went to Utah, played professionally overseas for a long time. And then once he retired as a player, he was at Utah Valley, then BYU, then Utah the last 2 years. Now he's back at BYU. The humility to take this job tells you a lot about Chris Burgess. Of, hey, I thought I might be in the mix to get the head coaching job. You could easily be like, nah, I'm going to stay at my alma mater, where maybe I'm the next guy if things don't work out the next couple of years. Who knows? And that still might be the case. Who knows? But the humility to take that, and then as you mentioned, the lateral move to BYU. This clearly shows where BYU's at in sort of the pecking order in the state in terms of hoops. What it means to have a guy like him, what he likes about BYU. He already knows guys on the staff. On the roster. He's familiar with Foose and Trevin Nell and some of these guys. So I could not be more excited about Chris. Once Kevin Young was hired, I was saying, please get a Chris Burgess or Barrett Peary. One of those two guys, if not both. So I am ecstatic.
Since he left, BYU's been undersized. And it's been a running commentary in all these games. And it was certainly exposed in the Big 12. A big guy will play for a big guy. You know, if you bring in a 6'10 guy and he's looking down at the rest of the staff and he's like, how are you going to help me be a bigger big guy?
Yeah.
You've never been a big guy.
Mark Pope could have been that guy, could he not?
Yeah.
I played in the NBA, I'm 6'10.
Exactly. Yeah. Then you look up to, you know, some of these big guys are looking up to Chris Burgess to look into his eyes. He's like, yeah, you're a big guy, so I'm going to trust your post move. Show me how to do it.
In the rivalry, this is so interesting that Burgess would return when they are perceived as sort of, hey, we're in the same league. Are we equal? They're not equal in where they are right now. Obviously, Utah and BYU football aren't equal. BYU is trying to get to that level where they're competing for the conference championship. Like, Utah's won a couple. So, you know, the give and take of those two sports, which is interesting. So I can't wait, man. I think this is a home run, and BYU basketball continues to make moves that really impress not only us, but people outside of the BYU situation. You're seeing Doug Gottlieb and Matt Norlander and Jeff Goodman all kind of create this buzz. I don't pay attention to the other assistant coach jobs elsewhere that much, but it seems like BYUs are getting some buzz that others do not. And can Chris Burgess, now that the portal is closed, grab some big guys that really help BYU? I know they're in the hunt. We talked to Brandon Dunson yesterday about the types of guys they want. He mentioned a rim-running five. Rim rolling five is what he said. And then a wing that is 6'6", 6'7", to defend. And then someone who can score off the bounce. Those are the three kind of positions they're targeting.
He also talked about the kind of coaches that they want to bring in. And here's what he said yesterday. Let's listen.
But I think we have a good idea. We're finalizing some things. I think we have a good group of guys that we're kind of selecting from or offering jobs. And I think we have a good feel for some of those guys who would accept. And so I think we're going to put a good staff together, both mix of college, pro. So I think it's going to be really good.
And now, he did say last night the Burgess thing happened faster than he thought. He wouldn't be as vague with us yesterday. He
goes,
that was in the works, but then all of a sudden it was done. He said,
you don't want to be like, hey, later today.
Yeah.
Imminent announcement. Yeah, you don't want to be like that.
But let's look at the roster, the coaching roster. Mm-hmm. And there's still three key pieces, and we understand they're going to be really interesting pieces to add.
Yeah, I have been told that the intention is to fill all five assistant spots, by the way, which BYU did not last year. They didn't have to. But you can go up to five, right? So Kevin Young is head coach, of course. Brandon Dunson, the first assistant. We talked to him yesterday from Stanford. Chris Burgess comes over from Utah. So two Pac-12 guys, three open assistant spots. I will be shocked if at least one of these is not a current guy in the NBA somewhere. There are so many assistant coaches on these staffs. At least one has got to be from the NBA, given Kevin Young's connection.
And that's what we're hearing, right? It's going to be one that's going to turn some heads. He's coming from the NBA.
I would love for one of them to be from Europe, by the way, just to have kind of that connection as the game grows.
They have some players over there.
Yes, they do. You could argue the best, player, a basketball player and tennis player, are both from Serbia. You know, as the game expands and sports expand. So we'll see what BYU ends up doing the next couple of weeks regarding director of ops and chief of staff. There was a report yesterday about that particular position.
Right.
So we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks. But it's all happening, and BYU has somewhere around 4-ish scholarships to fill as well. So who knew that early May could be men's basketball chuck full of news and information?
It's awesome. It's going to skip this summer right along.
Yes, it will.
TJ Haas, Gregor Bell coming up here in just a little bit with more on the Chris Burgess hire. We're efforting the head man. We'll see if we get him tomorrow.
As soon as he's available, he'll be in here.
We are efforting. All right, here's another interesting topic. Brett McMurphy, our friend who joins the show all the time, he reported yesterday that Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yormark and the conference are in favor of expanding both the college football playoff, as well as, in theory, the basketball coaches would like the NCAA tournament to expand beyond 68. More is good is something that the commish likes to say, and he's done a lot of good, and he's created a lot of more. So here's an idea.
Yes.
Are you favoring expansion of both football and basketball in the postseason?
Basketball, I'm good. I don't need expansion as a fan purely. Football, I would like that to get to 16. That's just, FCS does it. It's a nice round number. It's there's no buys for anybody. You got to win four to get in. It's four extra games for two teams, three for four, two for eight more teams, one for 16. It's not like we're adding a ton here. It's becoming baby NFL anyway,
right,
which plays the 17-game schedule. Roger Goodell said during the draft, hey, we're looking at an 18-game schedule.
Isn't it interesting? The off-the-field stuff is becoming more NFL-like. Faster than the on-the-field stuff.
Yes, faster.
But eventually they'll meet each other, and maybe this is it.
So I wouldn't mind a 16-team college football playoff. In terms of basketball, right now it's 68, which is such a weird number, the 64 plus 4. I don't know how we got there, but we're there. I'm fine with it. I think it's the right amount of hard to get in for a team like BYU. If you expand it, now you're going to make the tourney quite a bit, which is great and exciting. Does it dilute the idea of when you make March Madness and what that means?
You know, a coach will tell you it is so hard to get in the NCAA tournament. Let's see, Steve Cleveland told us that. Dave Rose told us that. Mark Pope told us that. Every coach knows how hard it is to get in the NCAA tournament. So they're often judged by whether or not they do. And so expanding the field sounds like a great idea to them. So let them all in. If they're all in, there's no pressure of not making it.
Yep.
And I think that is such a big deal. We saw it with BYU this year. Just the notion of getting a decent seed and hearing your name called on Sunday as an at-large, meaning you didn't win the league, but you're still good enough to come in, that meant everything. Clearly, it means more than actually winning in the first round because you got in.
Yeah.
Now it's the take the next step and do some of that after the first Thursday. But I'm not surprised by it. Money is the driver. There seems to be plenty of it. I don't know where they get it, but they just seem like growing it in the back. But money will fuel the playoff, which I think everyone's welcome to because we just love football. I don't think, except for my wife, anyone's ever said, I wish there were less football games.
I know. More football is fun. We love it. Yeah, so we'll see what they end up doing. But there was the coaches' convention, if you will, for the Big 12 earlier this week. Kalani Sitake was down there. Kevin Young was down there. I'm interested to hear what Kevin Young had to say about kind of being there for the first time and seeing his peers in the league.
We got a list of questions that's growing.
Yes. Yes, we do.
There's
lots to ask. Our poll question of the day today, Brett Yormark is in favor of expanding the college football playoff in the NCAA tournament. Are you in favor? We put out a poll there, and here's the results so far. Leader in the clubhouse is just the college football playoff at 60%. That's how I feel as well. You can you can put down both, just the playoff, just the March Madness, neither. Neither is at 24% second, both 15%, just NCAA tournaments 1%. People want to see football expand. 12 is a weird number. You have four buys. 14, that makes no sense to me why you wouldn't just jump to 16 at that point.
It keeps so many more markets in the game, right? You didn't have to win all your games.
You can lose.
You can still get in.
You can lose three times.
Then you get hot, and then all of a sudden, and that's what we see in the NCAA tournament, with the exception of UConn that was just hot the whole time. But the magic of it is who's going to get hot. So you bring magic to football. The 1% on the NCAA tournament, I get that because, at the end of Friday, we're all exhausted. It's like, do we really need three more games? It's such an overload of goodness. That I think people are like, just leave it. It's just
I think it's in a sweet spot there. It's pretty good. But the money is too enticing for these big companies. Nolan Mickelson on X. Yes and yes, more games means more money, more opportunities for BYU. I would like 16 for football, 96 Whoa. For basketball. So you just have a whole nother round, right? Time for the NIT to just go away. What do you mean? BYU is a two-time NIT champ. We don't want it to just go away.
Sometimes
66.
The NIT can help you get to the big dance the following year. 96, that's a lot. So you'd like the championship to go into mid-April, I guess, right? If you're going to play, yeah. If you're going to add another round.
You just extend out.
Yeah. You just extend out because you can't.
I would love football to start a little earlier.
You're already starting
in
early November.
I would love football to start a little earlier.
Hey,
so you don't have
the high schools
weather.
Are like August 13th
yeah.
playing games.
They go early. End of November. Let's go. Continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Hey, and we want to remind you there's another big event coming up. We're going to Phoenix, the BYUSN 1 hour special at the Fan Fest. It's May 18th, just around the corner now that we're in the month of May. Noon Eastern Time, BYU TV, BYU Radio. Cougars will return to the Phoenix area, of course, to play Arizona State. The week before Thanksgiving, and then they'll be down there for basketball and every other sport, as all those BYU fans in Phoenix are now going to get a steady dose
yes, they will.
Of Cougar sports.
So I shouldn't wear my NHL Utah shirt at that one?
Yeah.
Up next.
Maybe just wait. Maybe wait a year.
Former Cougar point guard TJ Haws, the Ginger Mamba, joins us to discuss the return of one of his coaches, Chris Burgess, back to BYU. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is sponsored by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
The lob, Traore with the flush.
In the corner, Saunders.
Oh, many dunks and threes coming up this fall with BYU men's basketball. Cannot wait. We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day Cougar sports play-by-play. I'm Jerome Jordan, Dave McCann, and let's introduce our first guest of the day with a stat of the day.
It's the BYU Sports Nation stat of the day.
It's been a minute. Nice. Only three players in BYU history are top seven in scoring and assists all time at BYU. Maybe you've heard of them. Danny Ainge, Jimmer Fredette, and our guest, TJ Haws in the house, the Ginger Mamba. TJ, did you know you were in select company like that? That's pretty good, man.
Hey, that is great company to be in. I like to hear that.
Hey, I was in your company Tuesday, played with Tyler and Eric and some guys. You were out at Cedar Hills Golf Club at the corporate sponsorship tournament as well. How'd you shoot? How was it?
It's a blast. It's so fun to be around the BYU family. My golf game needs a lot of work, but I'm getting there. Now that I'm done playing hoops, I'm trying to get on the course a little bit more and improve my game.
Now, your brother, Tyler, hit a 20-foot eagle putt. We were talking about that yesterday. By the time you heard the story, was it a 45-foot eagle putt?
For sure. he chipped it in from 100 yards.
Yeah. Hey, I saw it. It was awesome. It was great. Let's talk about Chris Burgess. Here's the guy that in your senior year, you've got a new staff, and you guys were trying to rebound from a season where you're super disappointed, and you guys were going to be a six seed, you know, if COVID didn't hit, and you know Burge from that year. What is BYU getting with Chris Burgess again?
Man, this is such a big hire, and, you know, I think from the moment that Pope left, everybody really wanted Burge on staff. Fans, organization, players, alumni. Everybody wanted him back. And, you know, right when he got hired, my phone was blowing up. So this is really exciting. And I'm really excited to have him back. And he's gonna help us a ton.
In your practices, you watched him work with the bigs. And then he also had an influence on your game. What does he do? What makes him a good assistant coach to players on the floor when it comes to development?
Yeah, you know, he knows the game so well, and he's, you know, he obviously played for an extremely long time, and so his knowledge of the game is deep. But I think, you know, the one thing that stands out to me from my time with him is just his calm demeanor. And, you know, there's so many ups and downs throughout a basketball season, and throughout the whole year, that senior year, he was just even keeled. And, you know, you're always looking up to coaches, and his demeanor was really big that year for us.
I would imagine it's something else to have a timeout called and you huddle up and your coach is out of his mind And you're like, hey, we got 60 seconds. What are you supposed to do? So the calm demeanor is probably not as appreciated as it should be.
Yeah, no, it's a really big deal. And he's always been that way from the second he stepped foot on campus. He's really great that way. And, you know, that stuff is contagious.
It's a big deal to get Chris back because he very well could have been the head coach here. Like, if it didn't work out with Kevin for whatever reason, Burge is probably the next in line there. And he left his alma mater, a place where he loves, right? And he came back to BYU. What's your reaction to the return of a guy who left his rival, whose team is playing in the same league, to be part of this new regime?
It's great. I think it says a lot about his experience here. I think BYU is a great place with special fans. And, you know, I'm excited. I coach his son in fifth grade. And so
nice.
It's going to be good to have a BYU shirt in the stands again for those games.
But is his son like 6'7" already? Is that fifth grader on the way up?
He's going to be good too, man. He's a shooter.
Let's talk about his impact on recruiting. While he was at Utah, he was still recruiting mostly the same kids that BYU was going after. He got some of them. Brody Kozlowski, who's committed to Kevin Young's staff, elated with the fact that Burgess is coming this way. And you got to have somebody on staff when a high school coach calls for some reason who knows who he is. So it seems like his position in recruiting is huge here.
Yes, you know, it's enormous. And you know, it seems like every guy that I talk to or every recruit that I hear about, you always just hear, hey, Burge is my guy. Burge is his guy. Like, he loves Burge. And so to have that impact on recruiting is really big. And you're going to see those effects with our program. Absolutely.
Amazingly, it's only been like, what, 2.5 weeks of the Kevin Young year? It's felt like it's been 5 or 6. I don't know. It's been awesome. What are some of your impressions of what we've seen and learned so far?
You know, it's crazy because I feel some similarities to going into my senior year. You know, when Rose retired, it was, you know, Yoli was ready to leave and it was kind of like, oh man, like what's going to happen with our team? And then Pope gets hired and some things start to come together and it's kind of felt that same way. Pope left and a bunch of guys jumped in the portal and it was like, man, what's going to happen? And they hire Kevin and then pieces just start coming together and everything's piecing together right now. And so it's been really exciting and I don't feel like we're done yet. I think there's a lot more good news to come and I'm excited to, you know, witness it.
TJ Haas on with us on BYU Sports Nation. Dallin Hall is back. You're the point guard. We're the point guard. It feels like you were just here. But so much of the game has changed since you left, especially with the access to the portal and this NIL money that's being tossed around. And so he was in that portal taking a look around. Now he's back. How does his return fuel him to come out and be a better player next fall?
Yeah, you know, I think this team is coming together, and I think, you know, he's one of our vets. And so he's coming back ready to lead this team, and he's in a, you know, a unique spot at point guard to really connect new coaching staff and our current guys and really be a leader on this team. And I expect him to take on that role fully. And I expect us to be really good. This team has a lot of weapons and I'm excited to see him lead this squad.
What's it like to be a veteran like Dallin, like you were in the situation where Dave Rose retires, Mark Pope takes over. It's a new staff, it's a new situation to try and pick up and better yourselves into that next season. What was that like?
Yeah, it's honestly really fun as a player because, you know, you get a new coaching staff and there's new perspective and you can never learn enough in this game. Somebody can always teach you something new. And so, you know, when that staff came on, I was like a sponge. I'm like, come on, let's go. I want to learn everything you have. And, I think they're in the exact same position. You have somebody coming from the league that has been there a long time and has earned the respect from some of the best players in the league. And so, man, there's so much to learn from him. And I wish I could be in there in the locker room and in those practices to, you know, soak up all that he has to teach.
Yeah, it would really help you in City League. You picked up a few more things.
That would help me a ton.
That helped you over there. This roster and your roster are very similar in that you guys made that new coaching staff look really good. A lot of veteran leadership. You picked up Toulson back and caught a couple of things. Here comes all these players back for this season. What are your expectations for this year? And will it be the following year before we really get a handle on what Kevin Young and his staff are going to be able to do?
No, I think the expectation is they come in and they're a fantastic team. I mean, we have a lot of guys coming back. There's excitement around the program with the new coaching staff, and I really expect this team to come in and be really great. And I think one of the best things this team did last year was their chemistry and the way they played together as a team really made them great. And so I'm excited to, you know, see that same thing. That to me, that's the blueprint. If you can learn to really play together and play unselfish basketball, you can beat a lot of basketball teams. And I think this team is gonna do that. They're gonna play a fun style of offense. And if they can continue to share the ball and be unselfish like they've been, I expect this to be really good.
With that said, new coaching staff is a new system, yet it feels like it may be a similar offense to what BYU was running with, you know, certain NBA elements. It's nice if you have Kevin Durant or Devin Booker or Bradley Beal, although that didn't work out that well in the playoffs. Anyway, it's hard to sort of replicate that situation. What do you feel like is sustainable from BYU's success last year with a new coaching staff and a similar team next year?
For sure. You know, I think our three-point shooting is going to be a big piece for us again moving forward. That's a lot of where the game is evolving to is being able to shoot from outside. And I expect that to be the same. I expect us to play more of a five-out offense and have lots of space and, again, be unselfish and look for open threes and play fast and look for those shots.
You know, BYU's never had a head coach that's come from the league where all the players want to go. So let's say you're a recruit back coming out of Lone Peak where every team in America wanted you. And every coach is saying, hey, come here and I can get you ready for the NBA. And then you come and meet with a coach that says, I just came from the NBA and I know every GM in the NBA. I can actually help you get there better than the others. How meaningful is that?
I don't even think we can express how important that is. And to have somebody that's been right there and been with, you know, like we've talked about, some of the best players in the whole NBA and the whole world, that is huge. And that's a perspective that not many people have. And so to be able to have that on our staff, and, you know, when you're in summer workouts and stuff and you're sitting there watching film and, hey, this is why this guy is great. These are the little things that he does that has helped him be successful and has helped him get to the point where he is. And I see similarities with you and this guy. And I really think if you can do these things, this is going to help you get to the next level. That's a big deal. And, that's something that I wish I could be in there and soak all that up.
Give us a sense as a former G League player of what that grind is like as a player and what Kevin Young went through, you know, as an assistant coach and head coach in that league. And what, Jackson Robinson is certainly hoping to go to the draft potentially and be in the NBA, but G League may be in the future. What is it like as a player in the G League, and what did you see among your assistant coaches that Kevin Young may have experienced there?
Yeah. No, the G League is something that it is a grind because – you know, nobody wants to end in the G League, right? So everybody's trying to get to that next level. And so it's something that you're fighting every day to have an impact, to, you know, do the little things that you need to do to get to that next level. And, you know, he spent some time in the G League, and it shows a lot of his love for the game and his determination to, you know, keep climbing that ladder and get to where he wants. But yeah, the G League, it's definitely a grind. It's definitely something that everybody is kind of, they want to get where they want to go. It's all about, you know, their individual career and getting to that next step.
TJ, that beard that you got going on, is that a sign of solidarity for the Kevin Young administration, knowing that he had to shave his and you're hanging onto yours?
Yeah, if he can't have it, I'll take it.
That's awesome. Well, TJ, we appreciate the time, man. Great insight, and best of luck with the the fifth grade son of Chris Burgess that you're coaching.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. I'll let you know how it goes.
Absolutely. Yeah. TJ Haas on BYU Sports Nation. Chris Burgess's two daughters are college volleyball players. Very good. One's at Oklahoma, one's at Kansas. We'll see Zoe.
Yeah,
at Kansas family against reunion. BYU. Yeah,
that's right.
He'll be wearing BYU colors. Maybe who knows? Maybe he'll wear Kansas to support his daughter when they're playing. I don't know how that works.
That's going to be a lot.
You can't challenge the parent on that.
No. But that was great insight.
Yeah.
From a guy who played with him.
That beard does look good on him.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah. He's good. One of the greatest players ever to suit up at BYU.
He was awesome, man.
Hey, there's baseball tonight. BYU opens a three-game series at Miami. First pitch in the first meeting, 7 Eastern of BYU Radio with Greg Wrubell on the call. By the way, the forecast for Miami today, a high of 83, a low all the way down to 75.
That's pretty nice. Is this Jared Hess versus Dwayne Johnson? Is that what we have going on
That's
tonight?
That's right. That's
what
right.
dish would BYU bring to the Big 12 tailgate? And is Dave really included in the new EA Sports college football game? This is BYU Sports
Good question.
Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Hey, follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day. And there is a lot of content. Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, we're all over the place.
We haven't added to it quite yet, but we'll see what other.
Is there another platform? Has it showed up?
There probably are, but we're pretty traditional over here.
These are pretty good.
Welcome back to Studio B. I'm Jeremy. He's Dave. Let's get to today's headlines.
As we've been talking about, Kevin Young announced the hiring of Chris Burgess as one of his assistant coaches. Burgess returns to BYU after 2 seasons at his alma mater, Utah. I also went to Duke, so Duke's kind of his alma mater, too.
Former Duke player Chris Burgess.
Yeah, let's go with that. Burgess, assistant coach at BYU for 3 years back in 2019 and to 2022, joins Brandon Dunson on Kevin Young's first BYU staff with more to come.
Softball begins a 3-game series at Kansas today to close out the regular season. BYU has an 8-16 record in the Big 12 this year. Kansas in fourth place, 11-13. Watch it at 6 Eastern on Big 12 Now on ESPN+.
Baseball, they've got a bye week from the Big 12. So what do? You go to South Beach.
Hey.
They're going to play Miami, first of a 3-game series. First meeting between the two programs. Game 1 tonight, 7 Eastern on BYU Radio.
Men's golf was one of 13 teams selected to compete in the Austin Regional May 13th through the 15th. The Cougars will try to advance to their 33rd NCAA National Championship appearance. This group tends to really show up in the regionals. They've been pretty awesome the last couple years at this stage.
They were really, really good at the start of the Big 12 tournament and then ran into Texas, as everyone else did.
Yeah, they've been top 40 all year. They knew they were going, baby.
BYU golfers Angus Clintworth and Cooper Jones advanced to the final qualifying for the 2024 U.S. Open. Clintworth shot 4-under yesterday to earn medalist honors. Jones shot 1-under. The qualifying rounds for the U.S. Open take place either May 20th or June 3rd, depending on which qualifying sites the two are sent to. We wish them the best of luck.
Yeah, there's a lot of golf to be played now. For you and I and them.
Yeah.
Let's go.
The weather's nice.
Yes,
warming
it is.
Up.
Yeah. I played 2 days in a row. I don't think it's going to get to 3, though. Those are today's headlines. Now let's whip it. Cougar Whip Round is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
After 2 rounds in 2 days at the masseuse, it's next. It's golf, masseuse.
And I played basketball both days.
Then you get going. Let's stick with golf. Are you surprised the men qualified for the regionals after what happened at the Big 12?
No, because they were top 40. They knew they were going to get in. Top 60 typically get in. But this team is very talented. I expect them to have more success than they did at the Big 12 tournament. And they very well could get to the NCAA championships. This is a stacked roster. Let's go. In an interview with USA Today about the new college football video game, Kirk Herbstreit said he and Chris Fowler won't be calling every game. Herbstreit said, "You're going to have different broadcast partners for different games. Depending on the magnitude of the game will dictate who's calling it." So, Dave, are you excited to be the voice of BYU versus FCS matchups?
I'm here to announce it. No, I'm not. I'm not not a part of it. However, Blaine and I have a storied history in all the insignificant football games BYU's ever played. We like to think that if it's BYU and, say, Weber State on EA Sports, it would be behind the mic. But they just didn't go that low.
They didn't go that low.
In the bottom of the pool. They stayed up there.
I've sidelined a handful of these with you guys. And we have fun when it's Southern Utah or Utah Tech or whatever.
And the fans have a good time because in the third quarter, it's usually out of hand if it's going right.
Yeah.
And yeah, those are usually the ones.
Chris Fowler, by the way, explained that he's recorded play-by-play calls for people who think they're going to attempt a 71-yard field goal or punt on second down. The variety of options they need to record is wild.
Game's going to be huge. I mean, gaming itself just exploded. And how far has it come since the last college football game?
It's been 10 years.
It's going to be nuts.
Crazy.
An X account, formerly known as Twitter, Unstable Bearcat Matt. So you know where this is coming
Bearcat
from.
Bearcat Matt is awesome.
He posted what each Big 12 school would bring to a Big 12 tailgate.
Oh, boy.
And he said BYU would bring funeral potatoes. Here's the list.
Yep.
Does that sound about right?
It's on brand. Yep.
Baylor's bringing Dr. Pepper because Waco is the birthplace of Dr. Pepper.
Yeah. Since he brings the Skyline Chili, of course. Iowa State breakfast pizza. Kansas State raspberry chipotle black bean dip, among others. UCF key lime pie. I like that. That feels on brand. The jello with the shredded carrots.
I like our friends from Bam Bam's just to come bring some pulled pork.
Listen, they have some brisket, some chopped meat.
All that stuff, yeah.
Oh, man, I might be going to move the funeral.
We've moved on from the funerals.
Yeah.
We're celebrating life with beef.
It's what's for dinner. On Tuesday night, the Diamondbacks had a game delayed because of a bee colony forming around home plate on the upper netting.
Yeah, I saw that.
So yesterday morning, the Salt Lake Bees, AAA affiliate of the Angels, posted this on X. Good morning, at D-back. Is this what X was created for?
Let me just tell you, yes. And nobody in Arizona wants to get any more texts from anybody from Utah.
The sensitivity right now is very high.
That's well played.
After the Coyotes left, yeah.
What's up, D-backs?
Funny.
Hey, check out the latest Her Why podcast featuring BYU golfer Whitney Ban. She talks about growing up in a golf family, serving her church mission in Thailand, overcoming the mental challenges golf poses. Did you face any of those?
Plenty of
yesterday?
Those.
You can find it wherever you find your podcasts.
Coming up, the voice of the Cougars, Greg Obell, joins us after the break to talk about Chris Burgess returning to BYU and Cougar baseball at Miami. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Jeremy Jordan, Dave McCann. We now go to the land of the white pants and the white beaches. Miami, Florida, where BYU baseball.
The High White Sox.
And the High White Sox.
Yeah.
Where Greg Obell is in Miami to call BYU baseball, taking on the Hurricanes in a three-game series. Greg, how's Miami this morning?
High White Sox with sandals. And Miami is great. Miami is great this morning. 84 degrees.
Woo!
And plenty humid. I went out on a run with BYU baseball trainer Judd Franson this morning. And It was a robust experience, say the least.
Hey, we'll ask you about Burgess in a minute. But why are you even in Miami? This is late conference season, and BYU couldn't be further away from home.
So next year, the Big 12 will go with no buys, meaning once you get into conference play, you'll play 10 straight conference weekends. This is the last season where teams have the flexibility to have a bye in during this the conference part of the campaign. And so every team gets one weekend off and fills it with a non-conference series. It happens to be BYU series. Comes a little later in the year than other teams, but it's the last non-con for BYU in terms of a weekend series.
What is the value of this series on this season, in your opinion, and kind of the key for BYU to get some more non-conference wins here?
Yeah, it's basically a springboard situation. You're hoping to come out of the weekend playing well, so you have some kind of momentum going into your final two conference series of the season. Miami's in kind of a similar spot to BYU relative to the kind of season they've had in league. They're 8-16 in their conference. BYU 6-18 in its conference. Both teams had rough weekends. Miami did get one against Georgia Tech, but they allowed 30 runs. And BYU came off a weekend allowing 40 runs. The Cougs did come back and beat Abilene Christian on Monday. Not a bad win, by the way. AC is pretty good baseball, as Dave knows. But both these teams are kind of looking to give themselves some kind of springboard and good feeling heading into the closing of their conference campaign because neither team has had their conference season go the way they'd hope it to.
Nothing says Miami more than whatever that thing is on the wall behind you.
But
you're in the tropics.
Yeah, no, so I got one of the fancy rooms that has a floral or some kind of tropical design on the wall.
Nice.
And yeah, so I hope you enjoy that.
Yeah.
This was just me last night bored. I just started doing some.
You painted that on there.
I just started doing some drawing on the wall, and that's what came about. So what do you think? Yeah, no. Yeah.
Hey, in the spirit of Paul James, that would have been legit, right? Paul was an amazing artist.
Yes, he was.
He could have done this. Yeah.
Seriously.
All right, Greg. Chris Burgess, big hire. Announced. What are some of your thoughts?
Well, I'm just happy because I like him, and I like to be around people that I like. And so I was happy for him. A quick text exchange last night, welcome back, great to be back. And that's the kind of thing, like when he left, we would still chat whenever BYU and Utah met up, and just a great guy to be around. He got to work with some pretty good big guys, too. You think about the seasons he spent with BYU before. He was working with Yoeli Childs and Matt Harms and Hussein Traore, and credit to those guys. I mean, they were, you know, great players and are great players. Yoeli was the most fully developed, I think, of the bunch, along with Matt Harms. But Foose had to kind of come along, and then he got tutelage from Chris Burgess. So Chris got to work with some good bigs when he was here. And what he's done with Brandon Carlson up at Utah, it's an encouraging thing. And the fact that he's experienced it here, went back to his alma mater, and chose to come back here, I think, says a lot. And says a lot for Kevin Young's ability to reach out and connect with people as well. So it's an interesting staff that Kevin Young has already assembled. More pieces still to be assembled, I think, but a great start so far. And the fact that KY is on the job is exciting news for Cougar Nation too.
Chris is on campus right now. He's been living in Utah Valley even when he was at Utah. So it's like he hasn't been that far away anyways, which is great.
I love it.
And he won a couple of recruiting battles against BYU. And so now he joins BYU, where perhaps they can win more of those kinds of battles in the future. So it's recruiting and it's coaching and it's the type of guy he is. And let's be honest, if it didn't work out with KY, there was a good chance that Chris may have been the head coach. Who knows? But he was certainly among that top three right there. This is a fantastic hire. What kind of impact do you expect immediately and throughout the season from Chris?
Well, there's a connections angle to this as well. He's been connected in the local recruiting community now for consecutive years since coming back to the state between both his BYU and Utah stint. So I think that's important too. And yes, in terms of qualifications for the job, once you got past KY, you know, Chris was right at, if not at the top, although he did not have head coaching experience yet. He was probably as accomplished as an assistant at a high level as you could be among those coaching in the LDS community. So Chris was certainly well qualified, and I think it's great that he reached out, or that KY reached out and made that connection and got this thing to work. I think it's great to have him back at BYU again. Someone that's experienced it here, has gone back to his, you know, former school, and still chosen to make, if not exactly a lateral move, a move that's kind of commensurate due to title, but yeah, clearly there's more to offer Chris here than where he was at previously. I think that's encouraging.
One killer for a basketball program is the lack of expectations. Think of the roller coaster ride that the program's been on, and you come home from the NCAA tournament, and then things unravel, and then all of a sudden they're built back, maybe even better. This role of expectations heading into now the first year under Kevin Young, what are your expectations for this group, knowing that who's coming back and who might be coming in?
Well, to me, the most intriguing thing is about what approach Kevin Young will use. He gave some hints as to what his offense might look like when he spoke at the press conference, and we've been able to watch his work with the Phoenix Suns and get a sense. But I think what Mark Pope did this past year took a lot of people by surprise at the start. And then maybe as the season went along, people began to adjust a little better to what BYU was doing. But I'm hoping for a similar type of immediate impact with KY and what his game plan will look like, because no one knows what KY as a college head coach looks like yet. And so there's that appeal of the unknown and somewhat of a competitive advantage of the unknown until it gets settled in and people begin to figure out exactly what BYU is doing. So I look forward to these next few months in the college basketball laboratory for Kevin Young and his team to see what they come up with when the season tips off here in October, November.
Amateur artist Greg Rebell joins us from Miami. Greg, we know a couple of the games going into next year. At Providence seems to be a really fun one. At Wyoming is out there, right? The tournament in San Diego is going to be spectacular with Arkansas and Purdue and Notre Dame. Which of those games kind of pop for you as ones you're really looking forward to calling?
Yeah, we'll see how they get drawn in the San Diego event. It would be funny if they get Arkansas, you know, whose head coach kind of precipitated a lot of what transpired here, right, in this off season. Getting to the East Coast, playing Providence is a pretty cool deal. The funny thing is, with the number of games that are already confirmed or reported, there aren't too many more to go because of the number of conference games. They'll play 20 Big 12 games, right, this year, which is the most conference games that BYU's played. So there aren't too many games to fill at this point because so much of two-thirds of the season will now be in league. In the past, used to kind of feel like it was a half and half. You'd have half your season out of league and half your season in league. Well, now, pretty much almost two-thirds of your games are played now in the Big 12. So there's not a lot of work left to do to fill out those remaining non-conference games.
Our question of the day kind of comes off what the conference commissioner said yesterday about the expansion of the college football playoff and even some, nudging for an expansion to the NCAA tournament. Let's talk about that for a moment. I don't know if you need 68 plus. I think 68 is probably pretty good. What's your opinion on that? And then as you look at the Big 12 with one less Power 5 conference this year, as the Pac-12 has gone away, does that open the door for as many as 12 of the 16, maybe 11 of the 16 Big 12 teams getting into the big dance?
Well, I think you're just going to see more Big 10 and SEC teams getting in that have gotten in before. As for the expansion of the tournament, I love the exclusive nature of it. It may expand by a few teams, hopefully not more than eight. But I love the fact that so few, relatively speaking, so few of college basketball teams actually get into the NCAA tournament. I think it's one of the great aspects of the dance is that it's so hard to qualify for. So, if Brett Yormark says that his coaches favor expansion and an expanded tournament is kind of the social bubbling out there right now, I guess it's anticipated that it would happen, but I hope it's not by too great a number because I think the exclusivity of the tournament gives the tournament its tremendous appeal, or is one of the most tremendous appealing aspects of it.
You are a Formula One fan, and the Grand Prix is in Miami this weekend. How do we get you over there?
Yeah. So we're about 3 miles or so south of Alex Rodriguez Field, where the Hurricanes play. We'll be there all weekend. We're about 20 miles south of Hard Rock, where they created the Miami Autodrome for F1. Yes, I'm an F1 fan. It's a bucket list thing for me. I'm going to get to a race at some point, whether it's stateside or Canada or overseas, it's going to happen. There's a race in Austin, and we get to Texas a lot. There's this race in Miami. It's here this weekend, but it's such that my schedule, the baseball team schedule, doesn't just afford those big chunks of time to just go spend 5 or 6 hours up at the track. So I may not get there, but I will be tuned in to what's happening so very close to me this weekend.
This is a tough time for Greg because Utah's getting an NHL team. He's got he's got Formula One in Vegas, by the way. It's close there.
Yep.
And then he got all that other stuff. It's just day to day.
The thing with Vegas, the Vegas F1 race, you think, well, Vegas is the one you go to, right? That's close. But the funny thing is, that's the one race they actually have on a Saturday night here in the state, and Saturdays are college football game day, so it's going to be tough to get to Vegas for the F1. So not everything's quite worked out yet, but it will happen sometime. I know it will. It's just a matter of when and where.
You're going to have to go to Monaco.
That'd be nice. And the NHL playoffs, great, yes, but also not having the Flames in it for two consecutive seasons has been hard.
Yeah.
Because I have no natural rooting interest right there. I could go with Harrison's Knights, but I don't know. No dog in the fight right now.
Harrison Collier, one of our producers at BYU TV.
Yes.
Greg, have a great call coming up tonight on BYU Radio with BYU Baseball against Miami. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Have a good one. See you.
Hey, remember your sunscreen. You're in it now. You're in Miami.
I know. I got a big old tube of it. Yeah.
Thanks,
thank you, Greg. Last blast for BYU softball, by the way, starts tonight. BYU at Kansas, first of three. 6 o'clock Eastern, Big 12 Now, ESPN+. The Big 12 tournament starts next Wednesday in Oklahoma City.
Are you in favor of expanding the college football playoff and or the NCAA tournament? Or more responses in our question of the day after the break. This is BYUSA.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Our poll question of the day, Brett Yormark is in favor of expanding the college football playoff and NCAA tournament and basketball. Are you in favor of expanding? Just college football playoff, 61% in our poll, neither 24%, both 14%, just March Madness 1%. There you go.
Yeah.
Our elite voice of the day is presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated.
Ben Peterson on X, just football. I think the NCAA tournament is the correct size. If you make it bigger, it loses some of the exclusivity that makes the conference tournaments great.
I agree with
Greg was talking about that too.
Yeah. Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. How about Chris Burgess coming back to BYU? And Jamie Sheppard in the NWSL for Bay FC made her first start last night.
That's awesome.
Congrats. But thanks to today's guest, TJ Hawes, and the artist, Greg Rubel.
Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All our shows on demand on BYUSN.com.
Sorry, Dennis Pitta. We ran out of time. For Dave, I'm Jerem. Shout out to Jordan Hammer. Go Cougs!